This is episode 7 of our series on restfully preparing for primary school. Parents, we are getting practical today. Stay tuned. Hello, Pastor Matthews, Gary and Chinfen. Are you ready?
This is
where we start getting into the thick of things.
I'm excited.
Let's go. So in the previous episode, we shared that community is God's idea. Even Jesus himself was very rooted in the community that his earthly parents, Mary and Joseph, surrounded him with. Community plays a very important role for both parents and children. We also shared some real-life stories of how the community around us blessed us so richly and came to our aid in times of need. So do check out the episode if you've missed it. And today, picking up from where we left off, we want to share more practically on how our community can bring rest to us as we lead our families through the primary school transition. How do we go about preparing our inner ring community of our family and extended family members for the transition? And how can our middle ring community, consisting of our extended church families and friends, come in to support us through this transition? Chinfen and Gary, let's tap into your fairly recent experience. What was the primary one transition like for your family?
Sounds like quite far away, but actually it's not. They're just P6 and P4.
That's fairly recent.
Yeah, it feels like, oh, we are over it, but it's still fresh. So fresh, you know.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. We can almost recall the scenes, how we felt that we were initiated by our friends.
Initiation
is the word. Yeah. Right, and understand what primary school life is like. Okay, let's talk about our first experience, our first child, right? We were like many first-time parents, anxious about how our child will adapt to the new environment. Mm-hmm. Actually, the kid, they're okay. I think it's more
of
the parents.
Until you pass the anxiety to them.
Yeah, until we pass the anxiety, you know, they can see from our face, our tone is like, where am I going? But otherwise, they're cool, you know, they're quite chill. So we were very deliberate to find church friends who have their children in the same school. We just thank God that they were open to reach out to us and even help us along with much information. I remember there were like two or three dinners. We gathered together.
Mm.
Yeah. And then we just asked them questions and they were very open to share.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. Things that we were not prepared to hear.
Yeah, even things that we were not prepared to hear. Example, right? Culture of the school.
Okay.
Learn about even how CCA works.
Okay.
You know, very, very different to how things were during our times.
Yes.
The routine of P1 works, you know, and how many breaks there are, what are the breaks, what food they will recommend to bring to school.
Even down to the food.
Yeah.
It's not food chicken is very rice, important right? to Singaporeans.
So many things to consider.
So many things to consider. You know, how do we even approach after school? Mm. What are the options?
Wow.
Yeah. So this is a lot to think things about. Real.
Yes. Yeah. And even who it's are true. The nicer teachers that we can pray for.
All this in your conversations with your friends.
Yes.
Church friends.
Amazing.
Yes.
Wow.
Amazing.
So very thankful. Those few dinners, we're not doing the dinners with very familiar friends. It's just amazing how God can orchestrate and bring people out, you know, the year leading up to primary school. Somehow, as you pray, God will bring people out to us.
Wow. Yeah.
So one of them is that I serve on Sunday during the service. So we see each other in the prayer room or the welcome lounge. Yeah. So we knew each other since youth days. And then out of the blue, I just asked him, hey, I know that your child is in this school. Can we just set up a dinner and ask you some questions? And say, sure, bro, let's do it. And I'll gather some other parents as well.
Yes. So it ended up four sets of parents there with their kids. Yeah. And it's just amazing. Same school.
Wow.
Yeah. What a time and chance experience.
Yeah.
Right time, right place, bro.
Yeah.
Come on.
Amen. And it was very helpful because our first child, the girl, right, who's our eldest, was introduced to our friend's kids.
Mm.
I mean, they were like, tete,
mm-hmm.
you know, who have gone to the school ahead of her, like in P3, P2s.
Mm.
Yeah, so they were able to share with her how the school is like, what to look out for, what are the food to go for, the shortest queue.
Amazing.
Yeah,
the insights.
The amazing thing about the school bookshop.
Wow.
Important to kids, not so important to parents, but still bring comfort to them, right, in their new season.
Yeah.
So it was comforting, you know, on when she came back from school on her first day, telling us that she bumped into them in school and how their smiles were so encouraging to her.
For sure.
Yeah.
Well, and even God orchestrates that kind of chance encounters in school, right, for the children.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was our first child. So second time round,
Not anxious anymore, right?
I wished.
we wish you could say that, but yeah, not. Because different school, right?
Yeah, different school. So, our son went to an all-boys school, right? And hence, different from his sister. Mm. While the school system is the same, the environment and the culture is so different. Mm. Again, we were given help to learn what works in the other's new school. And since our son is very different, Ben, from our firstborn, he has different challenges in school. So while his sister is more cautious and prudent, we face different issues with our son. You know, having...
Every day,
right?
At the bookshop. Instead of eating.
Yeah. Go and look at the eraser. Oh, this is nice, you know. Like, Mama, can I have some money so that I can buy? So not eating during recess, just to play and having to orientate himself to more stringent teachers in school. It was again comforting for him to see familiar faces in school. There were some Rock Kid friends in the same school.
Yes.
Oh,
in the same level.
They discovered in Rock
Kids. Wow. Yeah.
Also, it wasn't just like the children of the parents that you met
earlier. No, not at all. People that we don't know. Families that we don't know. But as he came to church, he realized that, oh, you know, this boy that I often play with, we're in the same school.
I love that.
Yeah.
God is really in control.
Yes,
God is in control.
And it sounds like it's really helpful to be in community, right?
Yes.
For the parents to be in community.
Correct.
You know, it helps their children. And at the same time, when our children are in community, they're planted in church, they're in Rock Kids, it helps them too. Like, you don't know how God's going to work.
Exactly.
But God will work and He will bring the help around us. Amen. Right? I love that. And I really want to hear how it went for Pastor, because he went through this four times.
Right. Okay, thanks, Gary, because you said you had anxiety for 2 times. I'm going to say that I had anxiety all 4 times. And that's not far from wrong, you know, so I'm just going to say, when being vulnerable here, I'm so glad we're talking about community today and the influence and impact of community and how God just brings us together. I love it. I'm already hearing this. God is an orchestrator.
Amen.
He's orchestrating things around our kids because He loves us. He's gone ahead of us. He wants to calm the hearts of our parents, anxious parents, like myself as well. And I'm so glad I'm in good company today.
For sure.
And He goes before us to make a way for us. Is that all these awesome truths and beautiful pictures of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I guess it doesn't matter how many children one has, 2 or 4 or whatever. There is natural anxiety with each one of us for each one of our children going into school, because you're right, Gary. They are all different.
Yep.
They have different fears, different strengths. They respond differently to external stimuli or external experiences.
Yeah.
And you know, with each one you're concerned, you're trying to put yourself into the place of your child and says, would he be okay with this? Will she be okay with this? You know, how's this going to impact this child? And so Rachel and I had our raw moments back then, Rachel, my wife, given that we were still learning and we're still being established in grace, you know, and it was just the starting out period of time. So as parents, we later came to understand from church, hallelujah, thank God for church, that a child's anxieties and fears are taught to them by their parents. And they don't enter the world with these. Their programming has much to do with our instruction. And our fears and anxieties tend to pass down to them. You rightly said that, Chin Fern. Hence, the parents need to guard their hearts first.
The parents need to be chill first.
If you need to be chill first, exactly, so that the children will learn to strengthen theirs. Our part as parents is to understand each child's bent. And their strengths, and to flow with that by the power of the Holy Spirit. So I'm so glad for the teaching that comes from our church.
Yes.
This is our middle ring community, is that right?
Yeah.
So let me just talk about our first child. Of course, everything starts with your firstborn. For our first child, our daughter, the anxiety revolved around being able to discern what the Lord wants for her versus hearing the multiple opinions and thoughts from well-meaning people around us. Especially in the area of choosing the school. We appreciated the suggestions that some relatives and friends gave, but in the end, we needed to hear the Lord for ourselves and to take into consideration that the choice of a school we make for her will determine, to some extent, the choice of the school that her younger sister will go, knowing our school system, right? Sibling priorities. So, you know, whatever you choose for the older girl, the younger girl tends to follow. Whatever you choose for our older boy, the younger boy will follow, knowing that I've got two boys and two girls, right? So we were just going through that. Really, honestly, we did gain some insight from friends who had older children, especially in the area of preparing a child to wake up at 5:30 a.m. each day.
Wow.
Because the school bus arrives at 6:15. What an unearthly hour.
Wow.
How do you manage? This is what we learned from friends, right? Managing their long hours at school, like sitting down all that time.
Yeah.
And other decisions, example, tips on teaching them concerning making friends. Sharing, interacting with their teachers, because it's so different.
Yeah.
As Gary said in the earlier episode, that speaking to the teachers in kindergarten is different from speaking to the teachers in primary school.
Yes.
There's a whole way about this, right? And it's different.
Yeah.
They're growing older. Handling, spending money at the canteen. I know, Gary and Chinfen, you have fresher experiences than I have, because you've got the now experiences with your children. So I'm just waiting to hear from you today.
Yes, we all are. We all are. And we will give them the opportunity to do so today. Yeah, so parents, hang tight. And if this caught your attention, tips on teaching them concerning making friends, sharing, interacting with teachers, handling and spending money at the canteen, we will be talking about these in a later episode. We are getting more practical parents.
Amen.
So stay tuned and hang tight. And Pastor, I just want to go back to this thing that you said. It is the parent that needs to guard their hearts first. Wow. This resonates so much with me, because I have a lot of fears and anxieties being a young parent and a first-time parent at that. And it's so true, you know, that our children come into the world not knowing any of these anxieties, and we are the ones who teach them that in our planning, in how we arrange their time, in how we communicate, you know, like, chop, chop, let's go, let's go, next on plan, you know, like, hurry up, you're taking too much time, we need to get there, we need to do this. Yeah, it's us, right? And it resonates so much with me. And as under-shepherds and leaders of our children, we mentioned this before in an earlier episode, we set the pace and tone in our family.
So true.
Yep.
If our hearts as parents are rested in Christ, that He has a future and a hope for us, you know, that our paths are dripping with His abundance,
Amen.
That He takes care of everything.
Amen. Amen.
This restfulness flows down to our peck through our speech and
Amen.
Our actions, and they in turn catch what it means to be rested in Him. So thanks for always pointing us back to restfully preparing ourselves, Pastor. Chinfen and Gary, so it's on to you now. Could you look back on your experiences and share some survival tips and insights on what helped you through the transition?
Survival tips,
right.
So aptly put.
Right?
Yes, it's all about managing. And thankfully, by the grace of God,
Hallelujah.
We will not just survive, but thrive.
Thanks.
Thrive, yes.
Yes, thrive,
such a good
yes.
word. More
amen.
Than conquerors.
Yeah, yes, amen, amen.
Amen. Amen.
So practically, I think, you know, when we talk about setting the pace and the tone in our families, it helps for us to be aware of what the season ahead is about. And I want to call out, and this is learning by mistake as well, right? That when we are clear about what the season is ahead, the first thing to do is to try to be as aligned and clear first between husband and wife.
Wow.
Yes, because we don't do this.
Wow.
Yes, we get that one parent may over time perhaps be a little bit more involved in some practical sense. But the reality is that as you step into primary years, there's more demand. We talked about that in the last episode.
Yes.
Much more demand from an outward pressure point of view in terms of performance, in terms of exposure, and also in terms of time. So if we don't take that season, the pre-season, to be aligned between husband and wives, there will come some situations where we will need to react in the moment, right? And it will be more challenging then to talk about it in that moment. So it's important for us to be aligned between husband and wife, how we want to navigate the season, and also really to call out and guard what is important to us and the family. What are we looking to achieve? What is the primary school years about? What is important to our household that we will not compromise no matter what, despite all the practical challenges and considerations that may be pulling us in multiple directions, including physical challenges.
Yes,
I mean, work itself can be demanding.
Yes, yeah.
We joke about the fact that by the time we walk through the door, will be thankful for a 20% battery left, you know. And we want to be able to be in that place to draw from the Lord and give the best for our kids, right?
Yeah.
And this is something you work between husband and wife.
Yes. We do. Wow. Yeah, and we've been reminded, I mean, like I said, you know, by mistakes, but also by reminders from our parent friends who have gone ahead of us in the season. Yeah. Don't leave these things later. Talk about it, pray about it together much more earlier. So, you know, in parents leading the way, I just wanted to call out that our children are still young. Mm-hmm. They are dependent on us to set the tone for them and to show them how and where to trust God, how to lean on the community, the inner ring of family, and also then the broader community, the pace and the vision that we see and that they can have for themselves. The reality is that things in primary school are indeed very different from kindergarten. So if we're not careful and we, you know, have this expectation that the minute they go into primary school, it is all about PSLE.
Wow.
Then what is it that we're telling our children?
Wow.
Right?
Now you're hitting home, you know. Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, it hits home much more because this year our kid is in PSLE, right?
Yes.
But you know, it's how, whether or not we like to admit, the registration process, the selection of schools, how many parents already start thinking about PSLE? And DSA and, you know, entry. I mean, I'm not going down the track, but I just want to call out that if we're honest with ourselves, I think we can acknowledge that we sometimes will have gone beyond, way too far into the journey ahead and leave no room for grace. Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. So, you know, what are we telling and stressing about that our kids can catch on? If we put so much emphasis on the school that they get into, you know, signing up for all sorts of enrichment or tuition, starting in very early P1, P2 years, how are they going to learn the value of rest? And that rest is important for family as well as that time we've got. And also thinking about, you know, how do we navigate this whole space around phones and social media? I've often seen, I think, that this is a topic that does put some challenges in the family. Because maybe one parent is a lot more relaxed about it.
Yep.
Maybe plays games himself or herself.
True.
Whilst the other is a little bit more strict about it. So we don't want to be fighting about such issues.
Yes. Oh, good.
Right? Yeah. And not having the clear boundaries. And we get that there are highly energetic children. We can do with more activities just to engage them. But Pastor, like what you said, right? It's about able to understand the bent of the child.
Yes.
What is too much for this child versus the other child, and what will help us to inculcate the right values. We all are very familiar with, you know, the teaching of, Pastor has always been highlighting to us, Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it.
Mm.
So during this period of time, making that transition and entering the primary school, how should they navigate? How are we training up our child in the way he should navigate and being able to set the boundaries that will be safeguard rails for them to be thriving in the values, embracing in the right environment within the family and also our middle ring, that community that we're building? What sort of community should they be building for themselves? I think that's really important, you know, for us to be clear about. So having said that, practically, there are a couple of areas that we do think about. Number one is that we feel like we need to be aware of the changes for our child. If we don't have a clear picture, we won't be able to navigate, right? So being able to understand what are the changes that our children will go through, the environment from a smaller compound to a larger compound.
As you step into primary school.
Exactly, right? If you turn up in preschool or kindergarten, you're pretty much in the same class.
Same class.
Your teachers maybe bring you to the washroom.
Schools are much bigger in primary school.
Yes, much bigger. Wow. You have to navigate your way. So that largeness of the school compound, the class ratio in itself, you know, 1 to 16 and now 1 to 40. When you raise your hands in preschool, your teacher is paying you a lot of attention. But when you are in a class of 1 to 40, you need to be able to speak up. You need to be able to understand that it's okay to be different and you may need a little bit more attention.
Yeah.
I talked earlier about making choices. Do you play or do you eat during recess? What food do you eat? Our children have gone down that way too. No matter what we stress, they will tell us, oh, I spend my money buying chips.
Oh gosh.
Also, 20 cents on chips, 80 cents on eraser.
Or every day I eat prata because I just love that prata. Yeah. So making wise choices that is healthy for their nutrition, doing work more independently. Now they have to be taught how to pack their bags, remembering what work to do. I mean, we have been in parents' chats and it's sometimes quite funny when we see how parents coming together and say, hey, anybody knows what homework is due tomorrow? My kids have no scribblings in a notebook at all. No idea, last minute, you know, and that's all of that, right? Being disciplined, having to submit work on time and having your teachers call you and say, you know, your child has not been submitting work and walk about in class. Because
it doesn't happen in kindergarten.
In kindergarten, it's okay if you walk around.
Yeah.
Well, some kindergartens, right? Because depending on what sort of framework or theory or philosophy you subscribe, it's about having them to discover themselves.
Right.
And that's less about discipline. But imagine now in primary school, they only get 2 breaks in a day.
Wow.
It's back-to-back lessons. And when they need a stretch, when do they get the stretch?
Yeah. I mean, restricted, right?
Yes. And literally we have kids quite commonly telling their parents said, I cannot get to go toilet because I don't want to disturb and I don't want to be the only one to go during class time. Yeah. So those are things that our children will be going through. And when we have an understanding of what our kids have to face, I think there is greater empathy. Mm. There is a greater understanding, a willingness to be able to just spend time with them and connecting to them. Mm. And I think as a trickle down, it's important to ask ourselves what really matters to our child. Going back to what we've covered in the earlier episodes around what is their definition of success? Is it about the performing or the learning? Is it about them being able to be totally independent or being able to just speak to their hearts and raise them up in the ways of grace, right? So what happens, what matters to our children during then will help us to relate and connect with them. Because of the fact that they really like routines.
Yes.
You could almost imagine that this can be quite, how do I say, disorientating to a number of them. Of course, if your child is a total extrovert, he or she might breeze through that. But yeah, it didn't happen with our firstborn. I think she was rather shy and introverted. We had to spend a lot of time every day when we pick her up or at night talking through with her, letting her download, letting her ask questions and really understanding what matters to them. So they have less time. Less play, more work, more expectations. What do they need from us as parents? So it's not about the presence, but it's about the presence, the time that we can spend with them.
Yeah.
And connection is really important. Yeah. So ahead of the times that they may feel scared, right? And not do well, for example, the comparisons, the spelling, dealing with strong personalities in school, or navigating school compound, it's important for us to help that transition proactively by being able to pray with them, speak into them, paint the right vision for them, share with them about God's presence with them. And I guess last but not least, are the changes as a family that we have to cope with. And this specifically, I'm referring to that inner circle, the inner ring, the first ring of the family. And maybe the way we think about the family is it's not just us as parents, but also our extended, right, in a way, our grandparents. What are the changes that we have to cope with after school? Changes will change. We wake up now at 5, like Pastor, you said 5:30. Thankfully, we get to sleep half an hour more. We wake up at 6, you know, because we live really nearby. And that was
distance
one of
matters,
yes,
right?
Distance
matters.
Makes a lot of difference. Super,
true.
Super.
Very true.
Yeah, so rising early, we were chatting with one of our LG members that, you know, just had their kids started. And she came to one day after one whole week sharing with the wives in LG, like, wow, this like has been the most challenging. When I was folding clothes, I literally started crying because she was so exhausted. Yeah. She said, I was not prepared, even though you all told me, but I was not prepared for that hours of like, wow, I used to be able to sleep until 9 because she freelances. Yeah. But now every day I wake up at 5 plus and I have to prepare, you know, snack time because she doesn't have a helper and she chooses to. Like she's overextended herself.
Yeah.
And then we get an opportunity to remind her that it is a marathon. It is not that 120
meter dash. Right?
Exactly. Yeah. So schedules will change. Working with the immediate family around the hours, the meals, the after school engagement. How are you going to engage them? Will your grandparents, for example, if they're helping out, or that if we're staying at home, how are we going to engage them? Who is going to ferry them? I mean, especially in primary school, I think in the later years, they have CCAs.
Yes,
that's right.
And sometimes CCAs don't start immediately. Now we have a situation where our son got into a CCA and it's literally 2 hours after school ends. So
what does he do in the
exactly,
2 hours?
Right? Yeah. Does he go home for meal? And if he does, then who's going to ferry him? Who's going to pick him up?
Yeah.
By the time he reaches home, it's like six plus. Mm. How do we do all of that?
Mm.
And that's the point where we have to consider, do you want to do after school care? Do you want to depend on your grandparents? Depend on your helpers? What are the thresholds and the expectations around enrichment classes? Do you want to do enrichment classes? Does the schedule allow for that? And in a way, does it take away that family time?
Mm. Mm.
We have to engage and we actually really, really take time to sit down as a family, including grandparents as well, to talk about, paint that picture of the changes that will take place and what we stand for. So maybe at this point in time, Gary, you want to chime in, right?
So it's important to actually set the family priorities.
Mm.
I think for the children, it's also a sense of security. Because like what Chin Fen said earlier, right? There's a lot of changes in their life.
Mm.
Yeah.
So within your inner circle, your family, that's where they find security.
Mm.
And you want to set in consistent priorities for them.
Mm.
Like, for example, say visiting grandparents on weekends.
Mm, mm.
You know, we make it a priority on Saturday, for example.
Right? Having meals together as a family.
Yes, or Saturday mornings, we guard it. I remember that we guard it a lot. We told ourselves, let's never put enrichment classes on Saturday morning so that we can go out for
outdoors. Be a us time.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yes.
So certain established routines, you're saying.
Like, yes, the routines. Right. Because
children love routines.
Yes.
It also gives us the opportunity to continue building what we value.
The connection.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so these are conversations you would have had between husband and wife, including your children's grandparents.
Yes. So between husband and wife, we first discuss, we align, we can disagree, we come to a conclusion, and then we stick with it.
Yeah.
And that when we are ready, we will also bring in the kids as well as the grandparents.
Yes. So as parents, we get to set a tone on what's important to us in our family.
Yeah.
So it's important that we, first and foremost, both of us agree.
Yes, because you're working together. You're partners, right?
We're partners, yes.
It's not like one of you is taking charge and then the other one is taking a back seat. It doesn't work that way. You are together as one.
Yeah, because we understand that as working parents, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes because we are so caught up at work, we do not want to get into the nitty-gritties like mealtime. It's okay. Let's just let it happen. And just let our caregivers just plan for things to happen. But for us, at least for us, we find that this is important. This priority is in our family.
Mm.
So we want to set the tone for it and not allow like the school to set the tone, right? Or even the grandparents.
Yes, exactly. I mean, like, I give you an example, screen time. How many times when you talk with parents and they say, oh, you know, when our grandparents take care, it's free flow TV, man. You can watch as much because the grandparents do not know how to engage them. Yeah. We find that as parents, it's very hard for us to rein back their TV habit. So those are the things that we talk about. How do we want to expose at primary school? Then we kept it to just the weekends. We come up with ideas. We actually share our hearts with our parents, their grandparents.
You influence your parents.
Yes, and we tell them exactly that. And thank you very much. We know that you really love them and you feel that doting on them is really your privilege. But here are the consequences if we do too much of that. And so we insist, for example, when they were younger in P1, P2s, P3s, I think as well, every day there must be outdoor time. Like, no TV, but let's just bring them downstairs, go to the playground, at least half an hour to play. Or bedtimes, like, we never compromise on bedtimes. Strictly, you know,
strictly,
at a certain time.
Yeah,
we will.
Right.
And also meals, right? As well as, I think, you know, just...
And this is your discussion with your inner community, your inner ring.
Inner ring, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. For the grandparents, the love towards the grandchildren, they want to provide for them and give them. But sometimes is we need to discuss and we need to talk to them, right?
Yeah.
What's important for our family,
especially
so like, for example, like snacks or
even snacks, sugar.
Sugar,
Ice cream every day.
Maybe. Ice cream every day. Oh,
well,
that's what grandparents do.
Yeah. No wonder children always say, I love to go to Ama's house, right? Oh, well. Yeah, but having said this, right, it's not just what Papa Mama says makes the rules of the house. We also involve our children.
Yes.
Like, getting involved in letting them tell us what will support them, what's important to them, what do they value in our family, you know, what do they want to do? Example, like on weekends, what do they want to do? What do they wish to prioritize as a family? Get them involved in the discussion.
They're not too young. Yeah.
And it's okay if they say they just want to play?
Yes.
Wow.
Just give you an example about our two children, right?
Yeah.
Like, for example, our firstborn say that you can plan anything, pack up my schedule from Monday to Saturday, that's fine. Okay?
Yeah.
Sunday, okay, is church time and my rest day. I do not want to do anything that's got to do with schoolwork.
Wow.
To be fair, she said this in the later primary years, but we're giving examples about how she was very specific to tell us that I've got now CCA, I've got, you know, this and all that, but Sunday,
don't touch it. It's a rest day.
It's my rest day.
Almost a Sabbath to the Lord.
Yes.
That's amazing.
And also, I mean, that is also something that Pastor shared. We share what was preached at the pulpit and we sow seeds along the way that she will come to that realization herself.
Yeah.
Amen.
So that was something we called
and then for our son is completely different. You know, he doesn't mind on Sunday he does some school works, but every day he doesn't want to be packed back to back. You know, he wants some free time so that he can play.
Yes.
Play is important to my son.
Yes. And better still, 2-3 days of just nothing. You know, and he literally will tell us actually at P1 or 2, you can give me like worksheets to do, it's okay. And he's actually quite disciplined.
Wow.
So he will do, but he will tell us very specifically, I think reaching P3, I don't want to go for tuition. Just don't put me for any tuition class. You give me work, I will do. After that, I just want to play.
Yeah.
Wow.
So we've always helped him to that. And we don't really, I mean, with his band, he's quite disciplined, we thank God. So we never really had to struggle in this area.
Yeah.
And it's amazing as parents, you sit there and you listen to what they want.
Yes.
For me, that's an amazing takeaway.
It is, right? Like
You're not dogmatic. You're not forcing it down. Yes. You're having a conversation.
We will be honest to say that there will be times where we're very tempted to force it down.
Thanks for being honest.
No, but the reality is that the fruits itself will tell. I mean, like once or twice, I think over the weekends, it was quite packed, like with activities.
Mm.
You know, we've got maybe too many gatherings and all that. And we saw how sullen he can become and how he will tear out of like, oh, I don't get my own time to play with my own things.
Wow. And
then we realized that, it really matters to this boy.
Mm.
Yeah. We better watch that,
So actually that helps us to see what's on their heart, their desire. And that's how we trust God to show us right beyond what they share with us.
Yeah.
Because God can actually show us this is how your child is like.
Setting the family priorities as a husband and wife, involving the grandparents, listening to them as well.
Mm.
I think it just helps us to navigate this inner ring.
The inner community.
Yes, this community.
Which is right around your family.
Yes, and that we can stay united as much as possible, you know.
And I find that it's so powerful, right, when we give way to them and honor their words.
Yes.
They will feel like, thank you for respecting what I desire, what's important to me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because they want us to respect them and they will also respect us.
Yes.
So when we tell them that we want them to do certain things for their good, they give us the respect. Then as a result of that, we also have to listen to them tell us what they want us to do.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
You want to share about the Friday night.
So what happens on Friday night? What is the agreement you came up to?
Their demand on us.
Oh. Okay.
Which of course we have, there will be exceptions, I'm just saying. But that's one of the things that they really told us.
Okay, Friday nights?
Yeah.
TV time?
No. And their Friday nights, they will be really unhappy when we go out. Not us as a couple, but that if we have, my daughter has literally told me this, Mama, I don't mind if you go out with your girlfriends on weekdays. I can manage that. I can sleep on my own. But Friday nights are family nights.
Wow.
We need you to be at home to eat ice cream with us, watch TV with us, and hang out together.
So Friday nights is TV time for them because we really restrict their screen time on weekdays, right?
Yeah.
So Friday is like a family time together. So it's like TV time, we get to eat ice cream, we get to eat lots of chips, you know. Why are you going out with your girlfriend? What about us? If you go out, I don't get to eat all this, I don't get my TV time. Yes. So that's what's important to them.
Yeah. So they tell us weekdays are fine, but Friday nights.
Yeah, Friday,
no,
Friday nights.
It's
yeah.
family night.
But I love how they're so secure in telling you what they want.
Okay.
This security is not built up over a day. You know what I mean? Like, it's built up over a consistent journey of having listened to them, you know, of hearing them, of honoring them and giving them weight. And I love that. Like, you know, it comes out in this way where, like, the children will tell you what they want and they know they'll be heard.
Yes, yeah. It's true. Amen.
Yeah, amen. Yeah.
And when we have they're exceptions, then we will have to tell them and negotiate. Yeah.
So good.
That's amazing. So I was just thinking, I mean, as you were mentioning Friday, we had the same thing going on in our household growing up.
Oh.
Friday was family day together. We watched movies together. So they'll choose a movie and they'll put aside everything. It'll be a movie we all decided, you know, either go down to the video store if you wanted to go and grab a video at that point in time.
Yeah.
But we will determine the movie. Popcorn will come out. Ice cream will come out. Mom will make some favorite, you know, stuff that they love to eat.
Yeah.
Whatever kids want to eat.
Yeah.
And we'll just hang out and always, and they'll look forward through the whole week.
Yes.
Friday's coming. It's amazing how it is. And we get the whole kid, all the kids together, and that community is so powerful, so strong.
Yeah. Mm.
For years, we did that.
Nice.
And it was something that they decided.
Mm.
And so we do not, like you all, what you just said, we don't spend that time for any other things. It's sacred to the family. And we will spend it. And it's always produced good things in our household. So really, I didn't expect you to mention that just now. But when you said it, I just said, hey, that's a good win. That's a great takeaway.
Yes.
It works in your house. It worked in mine all these years.
Yes.
It'll work in your homes,
yes,
parents.
Amen. That's so good. And I really love what you guys were saying. Amid all the different changes that will happen, you know, like keeping family time constant.
Gary Chinfen, you know, thanks for really unpacking, talking about some amazing issues, the transition to school, the things you go through, what a child needs to navigate, the things that they're exposed to. I just want to appreciate you just for sharing what you just shared, because it brought back a whole ton of memories for me. You know, my oldest, it's been some years since she went into primary one. But listening to you say what you said, nothing has really changed over the years. So parents, if you're listening to this, I just want you to catch this. It may be as fresh as last year. It could be as old as several years later, but it's still the same issues. It's trying to settle the hearts of your children.
Yeah.
And having these family conversations, like you said, I thought was powerful. Just the two of you sharing these, you know, intimate moments. It's almost like an upper room experience, you know, since we're there, maybe this year, for example, you know, to focus on that, to come into a place, because that's your primary community, right?
Mm.
It's your inner ring, right?
Mm.
And establishing that, and there's a place that they can speak freely, they can share their hearts. We can navigate this together. This is our primary community. Let's do this first, right?
Yeah.
I love the way you said that you keep certain things constant by making them your family priority. We know that all children do well when there's some form of routine, right, that they can hold on to. It's when there's a transition, when there's a change, that's why it messes them up, for example. That's why when we're talking about transitions into primary school, primary one, when the transition into school comes in, it introduces multiple variables in the child's life. And these are not so difficult sometimes to navigate. Some parents may, perhaps because of all these changes in my son's life, my daughter's life, let me pull back on some of my routine engagements. Yeah. That's really not the way to go. For example, we'll stop visiting grandparents because they're so tired. You know? Maybe don't go to church on Sundays. Or maybe we'll have less of a life group meeting because, you know what? You know, because we don't want to mingle our church, you know. We'll get these things that you held as priority. You put it on the back burner. You pull back on it.
Yes.
And I really think as you've been speaking about this, I think that's not the way to do it. And I just want to say here, I would recommend that you continue to engage in these activities. You see, they think perhaps, you know, maybe these parents think that these engagements may add burden to their children's transition to school. On the contrary, if you have already been doing this from the time that they were younger, this managed constant routines, these visiting grandparents, you know, going to church, you know, having your friends, having life groups, all the things that seem to be a constant for you, a routine for them, it actually brings them a good sense of calm, you know, our children.
Yes. Yeah.
children who continue these engagements tend to better cope with the school transitions. It's interestingly, they view these managed constants, I mean, these routines you're talking about, visiting grandparents and so on, as breaks from the school routines and curriculum. In fact, they look forward to these breaks.
Yeah.
It is no wonder that children look forward to going to a Sunday school. I hear this all the time from parents or our kids. Sometimes they want to linger longer in church because of these safe and secure community relationships where the atmosphere is non-threatening.
Yep.
Yes.
Monday to Friday, they're in school. There's so many variables, so many changes, so many things to navigate. I want to do some things on the weekends or on a Sunday, visit my grandparents. Hey, these are things I used to do before.
Yeah.
Hey, these are, I go to church on Sundays. Hey, I get to meet my friends. It's so cool. I get to play. These are things that they grew up on, for example. Instead of pulling back from this, hey, we used to have life group. Mom and dad always bring us a life group, and Saturday is always life group day. Mm. And we got to meet our other friends again. There's a certain warmth in that routine.
Yes.
I just want to encourage parents not to pull that away from their kids.
Yeah.
You know what I'm trying to say? Because it gives them those feel-good feelings. For example, I've noticed also as a pastor that at Rock Kids, that the children who are enrolled in our Sunday school activities, this is a bonus point to all the parents out there. Children who are enrolled in our Sunday school activities earlier have little or no difficulty adapting to the transition when they enroll into school. I've seen this in my own kids' life. I've seen this in the lives of other kids in church. In fact, interestingly, Rock Kids or Sunday school, that routine that they enter into, makes them better in schools when they go to school. They react less when they go to school and in the transition to primary school. They have less outbursts. They have less breakdowns in the area of separation anxiety. They are more willing to make friends. They are more generally more sociable. They are more adaptable to their new environments, and they generally manage better in school. That's because they've been exposed to this routine at an earlier age, and they're not averse to new changes. See, the transition to primary school is a major change. But when they have these things that they can fall back to, feel comfortable in, practiced it for a number of years, and parents, you don't pull it back, you continue down this path, you're actually creating a beautiful space for your children to be strong, to be confident, to be sure. I don't know how many times I've seen this when bringing my child to K1. This happened right in K1. Everybody in the class was screaming, crying. I'm talking about the kids there. My child has walked into class because my children were already very familiarized with Rock Kids Sunday School. And they got very comfortable in this place, in this community called church. That when they entered into the wider community of classroom, of school, kindergarten, whatever, they were confident. They just walked in and they looked around and, why is this child crying on my left and the right? What's happening here? We were just so proud of our kids. But we had one thing to thank, that we put our kids in those spaces in church. We did not pull back on those engagements with grandparents. We didn't pull back on those engagements with care group, for example, or having our families gather with other families.
That's right.
So I think that's so powerful, right? So you know, I was doing a study on this. It's no wonder that Jews in the Bible prioritize and have a strong engagement with their synagogues.
It's so true.
They enroll their young ones into a yeshiva. Yeshiva is a school. It's something akin to a Sunday school. And they make this their routine. And when it's time to enroll their children in public schools, these children tend to adapt and excel better with minimum disruption. Is that what we're looking out here?
Yes.
Isn't this podcast about restfully preparing for primary school?
Yes.
We're giving you the tips here, parents. Listen in. Hallelujah.
And put your children in Sunday school. I mean, it's such an important constant, right, to have for our children. And like all the different routines that we surround them with. I mean, I think I would be first to admit that a lot of these things might fall off my plate when the going gets tough and, you know, like changes hit me and like, you know, demands at work hit me and things like that, you know, about like connecting with our family, my spouse, the grandparents, my own children, connecting with friends, all these connection time, connection with myself even, they would fall off my plate.
Exactly.
Like they aren't priority in my life. And they would fall off my plate.
Unless you make it a priority.
So I love what you guys are saying. You know, we need to make these things our priority. It's important to connect fellowship yes. and be refreshed.
Amen. Yeah.
That's what
Amen.
Fellowship is about, right?
Exactly.
Like, that's what we spoke about in the previous episode, and that is really what God wants us to have. To have fellowship, to be connected, and allow that fellowship to refresh us.
Amen.
So I love what you said, Pastor. Don't pull these things back.
Yes.
Don't pull these things back for yourselves, parent. Don't pull these things back for your children, especially in a time of transition.
Yes. Yes.
Our community can be a constant for our families during this time of transition.
Yes. Amen. Agreed.
If we bring them along with us on the journey.
Amen.
We need yes. to allow them to come. Gary and Jinfen, could you share with us how your community came in to support you and how you allowed them to come in for you?
You know, I feel like that as I was listening you talk about that, I was reminded again, in His light, we see light.
Yes.
There is safety in counsel.
Yes.
When the times are tough, we cannot solve it alone. Yes, we can have our relationship with the Lord and try to do that. But there is a lot of grace and a lot of help in that community, right?
Yes.
So you're just talking about the fact that having a community that we can activate and rely on other than ourselves is really life-saving. It really does take a village to raise a kid.
Hallelujah.
And while we can have many things sorted out, there will be unplanned moments, including work emergencies, for example, that we are not prepared for. So I believe that we've spoken quite a bit about the inner ring of family.
Yes. That's right.
And since Pastor has just talked about, and Christy yourself, about the middle ring of the community, I thought maybe we could share a couple of examples, right? We remember of getting help in through that middle ring of church friends and friends and that we have also done earlier episodes around the importance of community that, you know, I would also strongly encourage all of us to listen in again.
Yes.
But as earlier shared, we have older children in different schools, and through the community, God has brought us friends and their kids that are in similar school to look out for our children, to share the ins and outs about the school, to offer help to the children in times of emergency. One time we learned about this when the son came home and said, I forgot to bring my money for recess.
Wow.
And of course, as a parent, you feel, oh, poor thing, you know, what did you eat? Like, oh, you...
Just drink water.
No, and you know, primary school, right? They get off at 1:30.
Yeah.
It's not...
It's only...
Yeah, it's not the same as previous, right? Yeah. They don't have many meals. So they go to school, it starts school at, you know, 7:30.
It's a long time.
Yeah, it's a long time until 1:30. So, our concerns came out. But he then shared that, no, you know what I did? I reached out. I saw this friend, the older friend that he has met in church during recess time, and that he went out and said, I forgot to bring. And the boy shared food with him. The boy shared food with him, and that, you know, they end up playing together. Another time, actually, just about recently, one of our LG members, and we have a couple of them that somehow got brought them together, and they are all starting the same seasons. And one of our LG members shared about how the daughter had an emergency in school, was crying because, you know, they soiled the school uniform, P1, not knowing how to navigate. And was so embarrassed. I was not able to navigate. And having that option to head to our place or another LG member's place that was very near to the school itself was a lifesaver moment for the kid, because then she could freshen up and not be reminded about the moment of embarrassment. As quickly as possible, you know.
And you're reminding us, this is where community comes
exactly,
in. Right?
Exactly, that middle ring of the community, the church friends and the families, because the mom was busy at work. The mom stayed at the other end of Singapore.
I mean,
of course, we wouldn't encourage enrolling in a school that is the opposite end of Singapore. But the reality is that, you know, so they are looking to move closer now to school. But so that happened, and that she had a meeting all the way till evening. So the child had no place to go to. And that was a lifesaver moment.
Yeah.
Another time where our kid was unwell, and that the mom of the friends, and the friends actually got to know about it, helped to collect the schoolwork, being in the same school, and brought it home for us, for our kid.
Wow.
And then just very recently, another LG member, the husband was away on a business trip. So the mom was just sharing with us that, wow, it's so challenging, handle two without help, and husband is being away.
Mm.
And because in the LG itself, the kids are very familiar with one another.
Wow.
They then discussed about the fact that, hey, we can go to school together. Let's walk together. Let's meet somewhere. And then we will just go to school and not have to depend on the solo mom for this season. I'm just wanting to call out that there are these examples of how from a transitioning to primary school point of view, and especially for P1, it is very comforting. Very comforting to be able to lean on church friends and other friends during this season where we may not be prepared for certain unplanned situations.
Yes, that's right.
That you don't feel like you're so alone, having to resolve every single situation as well. And I think that if we are open and have the desire, we could say, no, I think we started that way too, that we don't necessarily have that community right at the start. But I remember there were many times where, as Gary and myself discussed, we really sat down, we prayed about it, and we said, God, we would love to have more friends in this season. Mm. And that when you're open, God can orchestrate, just right at what we talked about earlier, that God can orchestrate many of these things in favor for us via the middle ring community.
Yeah.
Mm. We even have examples of how LG members who join us for the first time then realize that their daughters are in the same class as the other person that they got to meet, or they ended up buying a new home without knowing that there's another LG member in the same estate. So it's just amazing how God orchestrates and bring things together and help us to build the connections and in the community that we can have in church and the broader one.
So really, I love it. You said there are sometimes unplanned things that happen. But God puts the resources around you.
Yes.
If you can only see that it's found in the wider community, in the communities that He puts you in. There's no chance and accident with God. There are no coincidences. But if we are open enough and we want to reach out, the community becomes a source of amazing help to us.
Yes.
You know, it's soil school uniforms, no pocket money. Run down to my, hey, I know you. And those are the things that God puts in our midst. And you said this many times, Fern, you're talking about the LG. For those of you who are uninitiated, LG is live groups. And we are just so completely sold on live groups.
Yes,
and
we are.
That's what it is. A live group is a community, a collection of parents coming together because their kids are the same season, the same age. They come together, they become good friends. The kids come together and they become good friends. They happen to bump into each other in school and say, hey, I know you. Hey, didn't you? Are you in my Rock Kids class? Oh, wow. Hey, didn't our parents come and meet and we do live groups together? Hey, I remember you. And then they come, they get to meet new friends.
Yeah, right.
It's a place of comfort. It's a place, again, we're always looking out for these parents, right? We're looking for safety, right? I think there's nothing safer than you know the kid, the parents, and you know the kids. And the kids know the kids and their parents as well. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yes.
there's no safer place than this. So I just feel that that's another great picture of a Jewish community.
Mm.
So again, Jewish village life was often defined as communities where different families lived in close proximity to one another. Their locale, it's easier to come together, right?
Yes.
This is what the Jewish communities are like. This has helped the parents in those communities to take collective responsibility for their children. It's also provided an element of safety and security. Interestingly, schools have used this model to build their parent support groups. They've adapted this concept.
Mm.
But I believe it first started in church. I think all good things start in church.
Amen.
Okay, that's it. My prerogative to say it. Yes, okay, hallelujah. And our church has taken this one step further by introducing parent life groups.
Mm.
Where parents of children gather together and they're going through the primary one school transition together. And even parents are going from first-time parents to secondary school parents. They'll be in a safe space in their life group where they can learn from others, receive help if it is needed, seek counsel should they get stuck, and form friendships that can be long-lasting.
Mm.
Right, Gary and Jinfen?
Amen.
Yep. Amen.
I know you still have friends in church whom you have met this way, and these friendships have benefited you for many, many years, and it's still going on.
Mm.
And it has benefited your children.
Yes.
Yeah.
You have spoken about this often.
Yeah.
So I want to like to repeat here this little thing that we've shared in the last episode because it is so good and worth remembering. Community, listen to this now, community is God's idea.
Yep.
The word koinonia is a Greek word and there's no exact translation into English for it. Joseph Henry Thayer, he's a Bible scholar, in his Greek English Lexicon of the New Testament, he defines koinonia as fellowship, association.
Mm.
Sound familiar? Mm. You associate with others. Community, communion, joint participation. I love it. Its origin is in the Greek word koinonos, which means to partner, to share, to companion with. Amazing. Mm. In short, one apt description of this is, it is a shared community that involves deep, close-knit participation among its family. This is our middle ring we are talking about.
Mm. Yes.
And if you're transiting into primary school, and that's why we're doing this podcast for, we want a group of people, community that is in this space together with shared lessons, with shared journeys, shared experiences, so that you can bless one another.
Yeah.
Amen? The word koinonia appears 20 times in 18 verses in the New Testament. Hence, it must have been important in the first church, which started in the days of the Acts of the Apostles.
Mm.
Acts 2, verse 42 to 47, it says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship." That's the word koinonia right there. "In the breaking of bread." That's Holy Communion. Koinonia again. "And in prayers." I think it's good if you pray together, lah. "Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together." There's that word again. "And had all things in common." That's what happens in community. "Sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all, so that as anyone that had need." So continuing daily with one accord. There it is again. I don't know how many times it's repeated in this three verses. "And continuing daily with one accord in the temple." Guess what? Started in church. "And breaking bread from home to home, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart." I really feel the simplicity of heart is there's no care, no frustration. That's what the word simplicity of heart is. They were at ease. They were chill. Because they're community. Praising God and having favor with the people, and the Lord added to the church daily. Interestingly, when they felt comfortable, they came together more.
Yeah.
It's interesting to note that the first church was a dynamic and vital community, founded on four pillars, one of which was fellowship. Their strength came in and through their gathering, which emboldened them and gave their faith in the Lord Jesus both purpose and fulfillment. The community witnessed many miracles. They learned to share. They did not lack. Each one's needs were met. They found safety, security in their fellowship, and their numbers grew.
Wow.
There are many things to teach our children as they prepare to enter primary school. Chin Fen and Gary alluded to it from nursery school to kindergarten and now to primary school. And it begins with the school being such a big place. You're moving from classroom to school. And we will share some of these things in our coming up episodes. We will dive into some of these practical handles. But let me end with this, with an example of how vital the inner and middle rings of community are. These are the bands that have the potential of bringing the most needed help and sanity to you parents. And we parents here in this panel, we understand you parents out there. Let me give you an example. Any bodybuilder will know that the key to a strong body is to have a strong core. These bodybuilders take an inordinate amount of time building their core muscle groups. Core muscles are situated around your midriff. That's your stomach region. And it helps keep your body upright, helps you lift heavy loads, keeps your body from experiencing injury easily. In fact, people who don't train their core end up getting injuries. Amen? Back injuries, for example. I would say that for our children to prosper in the world outside, we need to have a strong core. And that is made up of our inner and middle rings of community, with Jesus Christ in the very center. Surrounding the very person of Christ should be a strong family unit, strong married couple, from where all your help comes from. Beyond that, it's about having a secondary layer of support from your parents, grandparents, your church, your core friends whom you can lean on. A strong core not only nourishes our soul being our mind, our will, and our emotions, but it establishes our children as they progress from primary school into secondary school and into life itself. together, this is the support system that will bless you and bring rest to your life, parents.
Amen.
Pastor Matthews, Gary and Chinfen, like my heart is always at rest at the end of every episode that we do. You know, parents, our heart is really for you to be found in community and to receive all that God has for you through the community He wants to bring around you. We said many times that community is God's idea. We also said in today's episode that He is an orchestrator. So He will orchestrate people around us that He wants to bless us on this journey. And the people that He brings around us will also help our children find rest in their journey in this transition.
Amen.
Amen.
Our children need some constants in their routines. And as parents, we get to set these routines. We get to set these constants. So can we encourage you to prioritize community for yourself and prioritize it for your children? Plant them in community and see how God comes through for them through this transition. This week, can we encourage you to deep dive with the Lord and meditate on Psalm 133? Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon, descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. We want to encourage you to come together as a family as well, with your inner ring, your immediate family, the grandparents, discuss the way forward, and set the constants that will not be moved amid the transition. We trust that this conversation will be a blessed time where your hearts will be knitted as one. Next up, we're moving vertically downwards on the cross, where we'll dive into the preparations for primary school life. Yes, you heard it. We are diving into the preparations for primary school life. We are finally getting Pastor Matthews, Gary and Chinfen to share practical insights and wisdom on preparing your children for school. Till the next time, be greatly blessed, highly favored, and deeply loved.